It's episode 206, the Cruise Dudes Podcast. Welcome to the Cruise Dudes Podcast with your hosts, Tommy Allison and Scott Andrews. We celebrate the cruise vacation lifestyle. Got your passport and cruise card ready? Welcome aboard to our show. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 206 of the Cruise Dudes Podcast. Hello there, Scott.
Hello, Tommy.
What are you doing?
I don't really know. I'm here. Oh, wait. We're talking about Australia. That's not Australian.
That is not Australian.
I can't wait. I want to hear all about this.
All right. All right. Well, we have a special bonus show. It's the holiday season. And, you know, I did a little interview with our friends from the Diz Down Under. And they just went on the Disney Wonder. And so we're going to talk about that for a few moments before we do the interview. So let's get this show going, okay?
All right, here we go.
All right, everyone. All right, it's good. How was your Christmas?
It was wonderful.
Yeah?
Yep.
You eat?
I ate a lot.
You open presents?
I open presents.
Let's talk about my present.
What'd you get?
I got a toilet brush from you.
Yes, you did. But then you also got a big, giant Snicker bar. So you need that toilet brush. That Snicker bar is like, what, 3 feet tall?
Yeah, that's a present for somebody else, not for you, for me.
But that was huge.
That's a huge Snicker
bar. That was huge. I saw it. Who did you give that to?
It's for a friend of ours, Nan.
Did you give her the plunger?
No, but I think I will.
I think you need to give her the plunger.
I think I'm going to give her the plunger.
Well, you already...
After she
opens it?
After she opens it. Here's part two of your gift.
Here's part poo of your gift?
Yeah, part poo.
Here's part poo. After Christmas, because you already gave it to her. So you got to call her up and say, hey, I got another gift for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's part poo.
It's part poo. Oh my gosh.
Just cover it up with like Snicker coverings exactly. On top of it. You know those bags that the Snickers come in?
Yeah.
Wrap it around it. Yeah. So it's like on the bottom. Say, here, what's that? It's part poo. I'm using my peas. All right.
Anyway.
All right. So let's. Okay.
So I had a privilege of speaking with our friends, Kat and Lewis from the Diz Down Under podcast. And they just recently got off of two cruises on the Disney Wonder. Now, you and I, this summer, saw the Disney Wonder up in Skagway, Alaska.
Yep.
And she was up there, and that cruise ship, Disney sends the Disney Wonder up to Alaska every year. And it's been up there, I don't know how many seasons, but I would say it's probably safe to say over 20 seasons because Disney just celebrated their 25th anniversary of the cruise line. And so she's been under, Disney Wonder has been refurbished a couple of times and just is looking pristine. And so my friends, Kat Lewis, who live in Perth, went to Sydney, Australia, the other town, sail away on their cruise. And so they were so excited because cruising has been not very active in Australia. It hasn't really fully restarted to the same levels as it was pre-pandemic. And so to have the Disney Wonder arrive was very exciting. There were, and you're near, you know, their excitement because they went down a couple days before the cruise and watched the cruise ship come in for the first time post-pandemic. And so there were a lot of people down there that were so excited to see the cruise ship. And so you're going to get that emotion and hear about their thoughts and their feelings about seeing the cruise ship returning, coming to Australia. And overall, I really feel like it's really good to get a different perspective from somebody of a different country when they go cruising, because United States, people from the United States and cruising, they have a certain, you know, expectations and, you know, and experiences and things like that. And I think when you have somebody from another country and they, you know, and they have a, you know, they're used to cruising a certain way and they have a certain expectations as well. I think it's good to listen and understand and appreciate what everyone has.
And well, and this is great too, because the cruise I was going to be going on, the Luminosa, in January down in Australia. So it is January, you're all listening to this, but that cruise we actually had to cancel, because a lot of the ports right now, they're having some trouble with the cruise ships going in the ports and they're raising their fees or other things going on in the vicinity. And my cruise ended up only, we had three ports scheduled and they ended up taking two away and then adding another for a mystery island going around the island.
Mystery island.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not going to fly 14 hours for 8 days to do that.
Right.
And I think that's where the struggle is right now with Australia, is getting these ports back, getting the secure of, okay, we're going to go full force. Let's do this cruising thing. But to have also the governments of these islands accepting them coming back. It's not the cruise ships or the cruise lines. It's the acceptance of, do you want your tourism back or not?
Right, exactly. And, you know, a lot like these, like you said, going when a cruise ship arrives to an island's isolated from the world, and, you know, they have to think of the health and safety.
Different regulations. Barnacles, that's even one.
Yeah, barnacles.
Nobody would ever think this, but I mean, I had a boat, and yes, you had to scrape the barnacles off all the time. There was one of the ports where they said that the ship had to be barnacle free, and it was this timeline where you're like, what? How long? Well, that's not going to happen.
Right, right. And so there's all these different factors that are involved in, you know, and levers and agreements and disagreements and, you know, and people coming to an understanding of what has to be done. You know, again, health and safety is a priority as well. And,
biggest safety for cruise lines is health and safety.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why sometimes these ports change and you have to accept that. Going in, read your contracts. But again, Australia, beautiful country. I will be going there to do a cruise probably in 2024. Haven't figured it out yet. I just want my three ports. But I want to hear this all about the Australian experience on the Disney Wonder.
All right. So we have Kat and Lewis Sutton from the Diz Down Under podcast sharing their experience on the Disney Wonder in Australia.
Here we go.
Well, hello, Kat and Lewis from the Diz Down Under. How are you doing today here on the Cruise Dudes podcast?
We are very good and happy to be catching up with you finally, Tom.
Oh, yes.
Good day, Tommy.
Good day. Good day, Lewis. That's great. Well, you know, we're so happy to have you here on the podcast today. You're from Perth, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And good.
Which is on the West Coast, like you guys. So.
West Coast. West Coast is the best coast, as I always say, which is awesome. And cruising has restarted in Australia. And there's been an explosion of it. And you are experiencing this. And we're going to be talking about your recent cruise and your upcoming cruise. And I'm really excited about all of this stuff. So tell us a little bit about what's happening in the cruise industry in Australia briefly, and then dig, tell us about your setup for your first inaugural cruise after COVID. I guess that's the way to
best way to describe it, isn't it?
Post-COVID cruise.
So cruising in Australia has been, you know, it's not like it's a new thing, but it does seem to have really ramped up since COVID. And if you go online and if you jump into the Port of Sydney cruise schedule, the amount of cruises going in and out of that harbour is pretty astronomical, really. We've got a number of cruise lines that have decided to make their way down under. And so we've got, as well as, like, we've always had Carnival and P&O. Yeah. Princess have been in the market for a while as well. But now we're seeing some more cruise lines. I can't remember the one that we saw the other day in Fremantle, which there are some coming over to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. But primarily the cruises seem to be going out of Sydney. There are some going out of Melbourne and Brisbane. But, you know, Sydney's kind of that midpoint on the East Coast where there's a lot of population around it, so it kind of makes sense. And it also boasts one of the best places to cruise from. If maybe you want to describe what we've got going on there.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone, if you say Sydney, the first thing that comes to mind is Sydney Harbour. So you've got the Opera House, you've got the Sydney Harbour Bridge. It's the best harbour in the world. I mean, it's not, it'd be very hard to top it, basically. And so there's two terminals. We've cruised out of one, which is the International Cruise Terminal, which is kind of ironic because we were on a domestic cruise. And so the International Cruise Terminal is directly opposite the Opera House. So when you get onto the cruise ship, you've got kind of the best view of the Opera House that's possible.
True.
You'll also see the Sydney Harbour. And just when you're leaving that port, you're cruising past the Opera House, you're cruising by the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and it's just absolutely magical place. And it was weird, though, because our cruise was in late October, early November, and we turned up in Sydney expecting our ship that we were going on, which was the Disney Wonder, to not be there. We thought it was already on its way to Hobart, but we walked down to Circular Quay and lo and behold, there was the Disney Wonder. And we got to see the boat, and we got to see the boat leave to go to Hobart. And then the next day, there was another cruise line that was there, and we got to see that boat leave from Taronga Zoo. And then another day, there was another cruise ship. So it was like three cruise ships within a space of a few days.
Yeah, and we probably missed like a couple while we were there as well, because we spent about four nights in Sydney before we embarked onto our little cruise.
But we're looking forward, because the next cruise we do is going to Noumea, and that one is actually leaving from another cruise terminal, which is due to...
Yeah, so there's a few different cruise terminals in Sydney, and... The Circular Quay one, I think, is like kind of cool because you're leaving from like literally in the middle of the CBD. You've got you can jump off the train and walk down to the cruise terminal with your suitcase, and it's not a big ask. We're actually going to be leaving from one of the more awkward ones to get to and from, because the only method of transportation really is car. So we'll probably get an Uber or something like that to the cruise terminal for our next little jaunt, but it's called White Bay Cruise Terminal, and that will mean that because of where it's situated, when we actually sail out of the harbour, we'll be going under the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which will be pretty cool.
Now, fun fact about my family and that particular bridge is that my dad took a tour. My mom and dad took a tour of that bridge, and they also went up on top. You can go on top of that bridge and, you know, climb on some of the upper areas, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
Yeah, my dad did that. My mom didn't do that. She's afraid of heights. But, she was afraid of heights. But my dad loved it, and we have pictures of him up there enjoying the awesome views. And you're right, the Opera House is such an amazing, iconic location and you know, it pinpoints that you're here in Sydney, Australia. And now, when the ships normally sail out, do they sail out in the late afternoon? as usual in the United States, most of the ships leave between 4 and 5 and 6 p.m. Does that happen?
Yeah, so the cruise that we were actually on that left from Sydney didn't actually sail out until 6:30 or 7 o'clock. Mm. I think it was 7 o'clock because we were in our show when it started to move, and I was like, hang on a second, we're leaving. Okay, cool. Which I think might have been a little bit earlier than scheduled. Mm-hmm. But they generally have been leaving at around more like the 4:30 mark. I'm not sure why they had such a late departure when we headed down to Melbourne. But when we left Melbourne, it was, again, that sort of like 4:30 kind of time that we sailed away. So,
and that was your springtime, right? Late spring or early summer?
I think spring was generous. The weather was pretty, it wasn't too rainy or anything like that, but it was very, very bitterly cold and kind of unexpected. Usually the beginning of November, things are really starting to warm up. And we'd had some beautiful weather over here in Perth. We're like, why didn't they send the Wonder over here? And it was so warm while we were away that I had a bit of an issue where we've got sprinklers that come on automatically every so many days. We can twice a week over here. And so the sprinklers, one of the little connections had popped out, and it meant that the rest of the system lost pressure. And so I've now got a lovely brown border to my little garden where it's on. So, yeah. So it was really, really warm while we were away. But we were rugged up. I actually had to buy myself another jumper. Sweater. Yeah. Go get terminology right.
Thank you.
Because somebody insisted that you get another jumper because layers.
Yes, right. Layers are important. I agree, Lewis. You're a very smart man. But, yeah, so it wasn't particularly springish, but we're looking forward to maybe enjoying the pool this time because that wasn't really an option this last time. Although I will say there were some absolutely gorgeous scenes, and if, like, it hadn't been kids, I would have taken a happy snap where funnel vision was going on the ship. You know, we were sailing, so it was fairly breezy, and you had, like, 40 kids all standing in a hot tub together watching funnel vision, keeping warm with the spa and just like all facing the same way. So they all looked like a little jam-packed sardine group. It was quite cute.
You know how you get them out of the spa and you can get in. You just tell them, hey, there's a guy over there that has free Mickey bars. You all got to go get it. You know, just say, go get your free Mickey. And they'll just go, oh yeah, ice cream free. Boom.
That's a good tip.
You gotta work your angles on that, you know. So
did you want to talk about Mickey bars, Lewis?
Yeah. So to put into context, this isn't our first Disney cruise. We've been on two others before. We've done the Eastern Caribbean and the Western Caribbean, and we kind of loved it and got addicted to it. And that was our first cruises ever. So we've only been on cruise line. We haven't tried any others. We were going to go on a cruise with yourself and Lena in 2020, but unfortunately a little thing called COVID knocked that on the
head. Yeah, I know.
But when we were on the other cruises, like Mickey bars were a thing. We would just like order them to our room and they get delivered by room service. And we'd usually have them when we were sailing away from Castaway Key or something like that. But on the cruises in Australia, they did have some Mickey bars initially, but they only had a small amount because I think there was an issue with transporting them.
Wow.
And so the Mickey bars ran out, and now when you ask for a Mickey bar, you just get like this Magnum, which is a similar thing, you know, vanilla ice cream coated chocolate, but it doesn't have Mickey ears, so not quite as good.
Well, you know what you can do is bring some Oreos on board.
Yeah.
And just like attach them. You take a little bite on one end, another bite on the other end, just attach it, and there you go. You got your own.
I'll send you a photo.
That will be done. That will be done.
So what was interesting about you bring up the Wonder and that beautiful ship, and I just wanted you to know we took care of it for you this past summer because we were up in Skagway, and the Disney Wonder was up in Skagway the same day that we were at. up in Skagway. So I think I sent you a photo of that.
Yes.
And just said, hey, look at, there's your ship coming up. You know, we're watching it. And it's always cool to see, you know, all the different people that come off the ships and things like that. You can always know the Disney people because they all have Disney clothing and they got their DCL t-shirts and jackets and hats and things like that. And, you know, you can always say, are you sailing on the Disney Wonder? Oh, yeah. How'd you know? You know, how'd you know? Well, you know. But yeah, beautiful ship we saw out there. And then, you know, Michelle and Tom, Michelle from Disney Dreamgirls was with us on our cruise. We did a cruise together to Alaska and we were on the Discovery Princess. And we just had a wonderful time taking pictures of the Disney Wonder and just the beautiful area of Skagway and just an amazing day. But yes, beautiful ship. It's wonderful when they come into the ports, and it's just amazing, to watch that. And it's really cool that it went from Alaska all the way down to you guys. You know, what were your thoughts when you saw it? I mean, it's been a while. You've been on a cruise and everything like that, but what were your first thoughts when you saw the ship?
Oh, well, that morning, because we took a what we call a red eye flight. So we flew overnight to get to Sydney. So we were there really early in the morning. So just seeing like real life Disney that's not a movie, it's not merchandise. It's like this big piece of Disney that's just like right in front of you, larger than life. I thought that because we've only sailed on the Fantasy previously, I thought it was going to seem really small, but it just seems so huge. And just the colors and everything like that, just really the theming of the ship is just excellent in terms of like just its general appearance. And it's just sitting in dock. It's not doing anything. It's just sat there.
But it's amazing. As soon as it comes to dock, there's people coming out and there's people maintaining the ship. They're just like they're painting stuff. They're cleaning stuff. It's like they never let the thing deteriorate at all. Mm. Even when we're on the ship, at some points we saw people that were like sanding and repainting banisters and stuff like that.
Mm.
It's just amazing the amount of attention that they pay to it.
But it does give you goosebumps just to like, it's like when you walk into the park and you haven't been to the parks for a while and you just get this like feeling like, oh, we're going to experience some magic here. It's that anticipation of getting on board sort of getting into the Disney feels, because there is a bit of a vibe to the old Disney thing.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Yeah.
So you talk about the feels, the vibe, but I want to know, do you guys wear Mickey ears on the Disney cruise?
Do you know what? I do not. And it's something that I don't know. I never really took to wearing Mickey ears because I find that they kind of pressure my head in a way, like behind my ears. And so I find them really comfortable to wear. If I could get a padding device or something like that to go on those little tips of the headband, I might consider it.
Well, I can't wear Mickey ears because my head's too big for them. Like, you know,
have you tried the headband ones?
No, not the headband. The headband ones would work because, I mean, the skull cap one, like my head's too big. I just try to put it on top and like just sits like on top of my head. It doesn't go over my head. And the headband ones are just way too tight. So,
I've heard that, but my wife doesn't wear the ears too much because of the same situation that Kat met, and her hair is very thin and very silky, and so it slips and slides and things like that. But is there a special attire? Other special? Maybe it's a spirit jersey or t-shirt or.
Yeah, I mean, I got mad into making shirts for our cruises and our trips, and so we do have a few sort of Diz Down Under t-shirts that I've made up. There's some ones that have got some representations of the globe, which is what our logo basically is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've done a couple that have got like the little, you know, the little Disney Cruise Line cartoon kind of ship that they have on the app. It's got a representation of that on top of the little globe. So I think I've made a couple of those kind of cruise ones. And so tend to throw on a bit of that. We've got a couple of Marvel shirts usually in the mix.
Yep.
And Lewis likes to wear the odd wrestling shirt, which he's got one on now at the moment, because that's one of the things that he enjoys doing. And you'd be amazed at how many wrestlers actually partake in the whole Disney thing.
We were on the ship, and our local wrestling federation is called EPW, Explosive Pro Wrestling. And I was like walking out of one of the shops there, and a guy walked past me and went, "Oh my God, that's the EPW champion, the Don Michael Morleone." So I was like, that was pretty cool to walk past a famous wrestler.
Very cool. Very cool. I think, Kat, are you also like Michelle, you like to wear the Disney dresses?
I do.
And that's what I was trying to get you to talk about.
That's one of the things that I do enjoy about the attire that's available, because there's, you know, like you say, there's the spirit jerseys and those sorts of things, but there's some subtle things that they do. And the Disney dress shop is one of the most amazing places to go into. I don't know whether people follow along with the Disney Dream Girls, but there's many, many a photo of Michelle and I just going through all the dresses and trying all of them on, because that's how we roll. Actually, the last time we caught up with you, Tommy, I bought the Captain Marvel dress, and I hadn't actually had a chance to wear it until we did this cruise. And I decided that I'd wear it because on each and every one of the sailings, they are doing a Marvel-based show called, oh my goodness.
Heroes at Sea?
No, it's called Heroes Unite.
Unite, okay.
And
I always get that wrong.
Yeah, I know, but you always jog my memory, which is important. And so I wore that to, we had a dinner at Palo that night, so I thought, well, I want to get a little bit frocked up. I'll wear my Captain Marvel dress. And people loved it, and it's a great dress.
Oh, it is, and you look sensational.
Thank you, really dear. But yeah, it was one of those things where we have been going to the gym a bit, so it was a bit touch and go as to whether we were going to get it zipped up or not, because apparently back muscles are a thing. And so that was kind of cool. But I only took the one dress on because we were only doing two night sailings. Mm-hmm. I tempted to bring two dresses next time. I might rock a bit of Poppins as well next time, but just very because cool. There's that really cool little British pub, and I think that might be a cool little dress to wear for that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The ship is absolutely, as you said, stunning from the outside, but when you're actually inside the place, it is just brilliant and fantastically set out. Like you enter the ship on deck three, is that correct? Deck three, you should enter it on. Mm-hmm. And deck three's got two restaurants in there. It's got King Titans, Tritons, yeah. And it's got the restaurant from Princess of the Frog. Sorry, I'm blanking.
Are you serious, Tiana's?
Tiana's, sorry, it's got Tiana's.
Tiana's place.
Tiana's place.
What was Ariel's dad's name again?
Then,
Titan.
Yeah, and no, then no. Titan. And then on the next deck up on level on deck four, it's got Animator's Palette, which is a restaurant everyone loves doing because it's where you get to draw your own character and then they animate it over the course of the meal. It's a really, really cool restaurant. And then this is all at the aft of the ship is where all the restaurants are. So I guess Tritons is midship, but then on deck nine, that's where Cabanas is, which is the buffet restaurant place, which does breakfast and lunch, but I'm not sure about dinner at this stage.
Well, yeah, because the two night sailings, they didn't seem to do dinner, which is weird because I thought traditionally they did dinner as well, but anyway.
Yeah, and then on the 10th floor, that is where you'll find Palo. So it's only got the one upcharge restaurant, which is Palo, the Italian-themed restaurant, and they do brunch and dinner. But if you want to get brunch or dinner, you've got to get in really early and book those because they do tend to sell out.
Mm.
And I think people who are certain levels of Disney Castaway Club members get a free kind of upgrade every time they cruise. So, yeah, you've got to get in there quick. And if you miss out when you're booking it on the app and stuff, you can actually go on the ship and then see if there's any availability when you get on the ship, which is kind of cool.
That's very cool. Do you have a favorite meal that you enjoyed that you like to share about?
Do you know what? I'm going to be really honest. Some of the food I didn't actually think was to the same standard that we've experienced previously on Disney Cruise Line. It was I don't know whether like they still had some freezer issues and so that might have been part of it, but some of the food wasn't particularly great. And a lot of our meals were actually quite rushed because we had because of the late departure, they pushed back the meal time, which meant that if you'd booked into anything, like we'd booked a couple of drink tastings that were at 9:30. And so we pretty much had to abandon our table mates. We're like, sorry, gotta go. We've got drink tasting at 9:30, and go scrambling off for that. So I didn't feel particularly relaxed about the evening dining in particular, but the meal that we had at Tiana's place on the second sailing, that was pretty neat. Like the atmosphere, the food itself was pretty good. You know, having beignets, that's always good.
But, of course.
Yeah. No particular standout of food. Like we didn't have things like lobster night because, again, it was only two nights for each of the two sailings that we did because we did the old back-to-back thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think we really got a chance to get stuck into the food. So that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to with this six-night sailing that we're doing next up.
Well, I will say I'm looking forward to lobster night on the next yeah. sailing, which is a six-night cruise. Lobster night's always good. But the thing I will always order when it's on the menu is escargot. I will be going for the escargot.
Yep.
And also
you had it on this sailing, didn't you?
Yeah. And the French onion soup. So if I can have like a really French kind of meal, it'll be escargot, French onion soup, and then some sort of steak.
Very nice. I love steak and lobster. That's kind of like one of my go-to meals on a cruise ship. When we were on our cruise to Norway, we had a 14-day cruise, and thankfully we had two nights of steak and lobster, which was wonderful. And then if you wanted to on the menu, you could actually order lobster or steak or lobster or just a la carte. You know, you can order a lobster for like $10 or $15 or something like that. Very inexpensive. But I thought that was really, very nice. But definitely I enjoy lobster with drawn butter and béarnaise sauce and just it's so good. My wife says I have to brush my teeth before I talk to her or kiss her after having lobster. But those are the challenges we have here in the Allison family, but we overcame them. So lobster, steak, and I love, of course, shrimp. So fried shrimp is also on my list of wonderful, nice meals. But escargot is an escargot for me. My dad really loved escargot. I don't know why, but hey, that's him. Go ahead.
Huh? In terms of food, do you eat mussels?
No, I don't. Clams. Yeah. We had a chef's table experience on this Alaskan cruise, and they served us lobster bisque, which was amazing. Absolutely. But it was surrounded by mussels and oyster Rockefeller. And I just, I had a couple bites. That's about it. That's about all I could handle. It just, something about the texture and things like that. This is kind of weird. I had, in another restaurant on board, they served us, and this was a total surprise. You know, I didn't know what we had an octopus, and I liked the octopus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. So, I try, but I do not, I indulge when I really enjoy.
Have you ever had oysters Kilpatrick?
No.
Have oysters Kilpatrick. So it's an oyster that's cooked with bacon and Worcestershire sauce. It is really good.
Okay. That sounds good. I'll try it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, did you have any port stops on these particular cruises, or this was just at sea?
Just at sea. So we went from Sydney down to Melbourne for the first two-nighter, and then the second two-nighter was from Melbourne to Melbourne. So it was cruises to nowhere.
I think the thing Disney was trying to do is, because Disney Cruise Lines are not cheap, they're probably one of the more expensive cruise lines to go on, they decided to do these short itineraries so that it could give people like a taste of a Disney cruise. And the majority of the people, there were some people who just went, nah, this is too expensive, I'm never doing it again. But the majority of people that we've seen who've gone on the cruise have just gone, oh my God, that was amazing. It was too short. I'm booking again. And and they give you the opportunity to book like a placeholder cruise. And you get a discount on that. So you book a placeholder, which was $250, and then you could book a cruise in the next 2 years. But, so many people are going, we're going to do it again. But I think that's what they're trying to do is come down here, give people a taste. And they've already said, we're bringing the Wonder back next season and also in 5 as well, which I'm like, that's good, but why don't you bring – the magic down, or why don't you bring the fantasy down, or why bring the same ship over and over again? It's like, you want to mix it up.
Well, Disney has had in the last 25, they just celebrated their 25th anniversary of Disney Cruise Line, and it's taken them 25 years to come up with the fifth ship. And and you look at, Virgin Voyages, and they've already got 3 ships, and they've only been in the cruise industry for less than, 3 to 4 years. And it's so popular. It's very popular. They have a popular, they have an incredible fan base. People want to book, cruises all the time with them. And, there's a lot of, popularity with it. And so I have a lot of questions about Disney not coming to Southern California and having a presence here and doing regular cruises, because we have Disneyland less than 20 miles from the port. They could go to Catalina Island, down to Ensenada, San Diego, that sort of thing. And it's just like, and anytime they bring a Disney ship to California, it's always down in San Diego. Who wants to drive an hour and a half to San Diego from Disneyland? It doesn't make sense. So,
Maybe once they've got more boats in the cruise line, because, we've got the
Treasure. The Wish and the Treasure coming up. Yep.
Yeah, so it will be interesting to see how that changes what and how they do things, or whether they will look at retiring a couple of the older boats.
No.
Yeah, I reckon they'll just keep them going?
The boats are still in great condition, and they're still absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think the Wonder is the biggest cruise ship ever to go underneath the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
So there's no way they're retiring any of their ships anytime soon.
I think that people will get fatigued and will be probably less inclined by the third year. If they send the Wonder down again, I think that people will be less inclined to rebook, because especially if they don't change the itineraries, because next year's itineraries are pretty much the same as this season's itineraries, which is kind of, it's okay, but like, you want to go somewhere, you want to go and experience a port, and there's very few sailings that you actually go and experience a port. Like, there's a lot of the 2-3 night cruise to nowhere kind of thing. So I think that it'll be interesting to see what the 2025 season brings.
Absolutely. Let's wrap this up, but let's have each of you give us 2 tips about cruising on a Disney cruise ship and what they should do. What's your best 2 tips, each of you? So we're going to get 4 tips out of this.
Okay. Well, my first one is to not get too disheartened when you can't book what you wanted to book through the app before you get on board. Go and talk to the customer service people, because they are excellent, and you will often find that there is still availability for things. So if you did want to go to the Rainforest Room and you didn't manage to secure a reservation through the app, duck up to the salon or the spa, and and go and talk to the wonderful people up there, because you'll find that there's probably still availability. It's just that they only release so much through the app. And same thing for dining. If you don't like your dining rotation because you are missing out on a restaurant that you wanted to go to, or if you have plans that would have stopped you from going to the restaurant on the night that you want to go to, the team will help you get onto a rotation that will fix that. And also with Palo reservations, they'll help you get the Palo reservation that you didn't get. What's your first tip, Lou?
My first tip would be when you get on board, make sure that if you go to Cove Cafe or any of the coffee places that sell the upcharge coffees, get a coffee card and make sure you get your stamps on that. And make sure you keep that coffee card, because you can use that on subsequent cruises and get yourself some free coffees.
Nice.
That is very true. That is very true. My second tip is to go with the cocktail of the day. They're so inexpensive compared to some of their, I don't think they're even necessarily fancier cocktails. It's just that you can go and get some more signature kind of cocktails. But if you go with the cocktail of the day, it's a very inexpensive way to feel like you're on holiday and have a little drink and not have a giant bill.
Also, the apple tini at the Cadillac Bar was not too expensive.
Thank you. Is that your second tip?
No, that's not my second tip. I'm just adding on to yours. Like, if you want a cocktail and it's cheap, the apple tini is good and cheap. My second tip would be get one of the beer mugs that you can have for the entire cruise, because the beers come in two sizes, like a small size and a large size. And if you get the beer mug, then you get the large size at the small size price for the duration of your cruise. But not only the duration of your cruise, but they give you back a card that you can bring back and then give back to them on the next one, and then you can just keep going. So once you've bought that beer mug, you can use it on subsequent cruises. And you can keep the big beer mug and take it home, or you can just take the card home. So, yeah, it's a really the booze is expensive, so it's a good way of kind of, you know, reducing your alcohol cost.
No, that's very cool. That's a great tip. Those are great tips. Thank you very much. Well, guys, before we leave, tell people how they can find your podcast on the internet.
We're on wherever you download your podcasts. We're Diz Down Under. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Diz Down Under. I think that's pretty much all we're doing. I tried to do TikTok. I feel like I've reached that age demographic where I'm just like, I don't quite get it, but I have posted a couple of things on TikTok. So if you did want to get enthusiastic and check that out, there's a couple of things on there as well.
All right. Well, it's so good to see your smiling faces here via Skype. I just love seeing you guys, and I can't wait for you to come out to California, or us to come out to Australia to give you big hugs. But definitely, you guys are awesome. And I thank you for so much for coming on to the Cruise Dudes podcast and sharing about your cruises on the Disney Wonder. And this was really exciting and really informative. Thank you very much, Kat and Lewis.
Thanks, Tommy. Cheers, mate.
Well, that was a great interview, don't you think?
I know. I mean, they cruise to nowhere, but when you're when you live in the country or like us in California, a cruise to nowhere is way worth it.
It is so worth it. I think it's very nice.
Yes.
And, you know, you get to relax and you don't have to worry about, you know.
Right. You don't have
anything.
To worry about
anything. You just kind of enjoy the sea days. And everyone loves to go on sea days. In fact, it was really kind of funny. My wife and I were having dinner at a restaurant locally. And this week.
A dinner to nowhere?
Dinner.
To nowhere?
No.
It's like cruising.
No, it was in Culver City.
That's nowhere.
Yeah, you're pretty much right.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
we were enjoying a dinner, and there's a couple of guys that just got back. One of them just got back from a cruise on the Sapphire Princess, and he was down in South America, and he was talking about, oh man, I had the the plus package, and I got the two desserts everywhere, and I knew it was Princess. And I go
right when you said
we put the plus package and the two desserts every day. He was showing his friends all these desserts, these pictures of desserts, and it was really good. So I got to introduce myself and share about our podcast and everything like that. It was awesome. And so, but you know what? People love, one of the things he said is he loves sea days. You know, he loves just to go and just enjoy the sea, just the beautiful experience of a sea day. And I agree. It's a really nice way to travel. Now, what I think, you know, getting back to the Disney Wonder and you know, just the restart of cruising down in Australia, it's going to take a little while for everyone to come up to speed and get back into the routine of normalcy. And I hope it happens very soon for them. You know, Disney cruises are not the least expensive cruises to book.
No, they're about twice as much.
They're sometimes could be four times as much as a Princess cruise, depending on what you select and everything like that. And I think that, you know, you want to get the best value for your dollar. And, you know, I think is Disney worth it? I go, it's per person. It's what you feel that the value that you get out of it.
Yes.
And so if you feel like, well, you know, it is kind of expensive, but I really enjoy
Disney.
And I enjoy the services. I really enjoy the food and I enjoy the entertainment
it's
and
the
things
atmosphere,
like that.
Right?
And the atmosphere and everything like that. And so, you know, that's cool. I'm good. You know, I'm not going to go in and say, hey, you know, oh, you shouldn't do it. I don't poop on people's parade. Okay. That's the thing I don't do.
I don't poop on people. Take two, poo. Never mind.
Okay. I know. But, you know, yeah, I don't say yuck to some people's yum, you know?
But in California, Disney is here for, I think, like 6 months, right? In San Diego.
Well, yeah, the Disney Magic. The
right.
Disney Magic, and it does.
They're making the rounds.
But you know, I feel like, you know, having to drive 125 miles down to, from Anaheim down to, San Diego is not the smartest move.
Oh, I have one for you.
I think Disney should be out of Long Beach.
But if it's not, just fly over there. Remember the airline, it's right there.
Yeah, and you got to get to the airport 3 hours beforehand.
No, you go to the Ontario. I was about to say that.
I'm trying to help the Disney fanatic here. No, Disney needs to go and port out of Long Beach.
Maybe that's why they're making the far port or whatever it is.
Oh, but, yeah, over at San Pedro.
Yeah, that would be kind of neat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would work. I mean, it'd be only like about 20 minutes from the Disneyland Resort, which should be, you know, the focal from the standpoint of entertainment and travel and things like that.
You could stay at the Disneyland Hotel or the California and make
Grand California,
make it a whole package.
Yeah, they should.
There and then a week on a ship. It's like Princess does for the land and sea in Alaska. Oh, here we go, Disney. Land and sea in Southern California.
Listen, it's been promoted.
Whoa.
It's been talked to a bunch of people all the time.
Okay, we're going to start promoting that. We're going to do it on the show.
Disney doesn't listen.
Well, hey, you know what?
They haven't
come across the cruise dudes.
Yeah, well. Anyway, I want to thank Cat Lewis for coming onto the show. By the way, I'm on their show talking about Disneyland. And so that should be out pretty soon as well. So if you want to hear me talk about Christmas time at Disneyland, I'd be happy to.
Go check out
their show.
And I'm going to promote you because you are Mr. Disney. If I had, for Christmas, he comes over in a Disney shirt, not a Christmas shirt.
It's Christmas. Disney. It's a Christmas Disney shirt. Did you see it?
I just saw Disney.
That's because
I saw you just flipping those balls over, cotton balls.
Yeah, well,
and then getting in a slap fight and breaking a spatula. I'm not going to say how you broke it with your sister. Couldn't believe she slapped you on your butt and that broke the spatula. Broke it.
Well, hey, you know, I'm a hard butt.
You're a hard ass, huh? Oh, I love that one. That was a good one. Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, but I mean, maybe you should do a Disney cruise because you're a Disney fan.
I have a goal for a Disney cruise. However,
it needs to be the right price.
It needs to be the right price. That's now, you know, but you know, and you know what? I don't want to put any pressure on any certain family members, but yeah.
But you're
no, I'm not. Let me tell you. Just because I'm an annual pass holder doesn't mean I agree with everything that Disney does. Or
no,
do
not
I?
That.
No, or
you
even
get, you get preferential treatment on buying rooms.
No, you don't.
That's a rumor.
No, you don't. You have to be part of DCL, the Castaway Club.
See, even that.
I've looked into it. It
what
doesn't.
Is the DCL? What is that?
Disney Cruise Line?
No, you said the club. What is that?
Castaway Club. That's their like their affinity club, like Princess's Captain Circle.
So you have to go on at one time and then just start.
Yeah, you start correct. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So I mean, they don't do anything.
In fact,
and they only have five ships right now.
Well, more are coming.
And I know that the Disney Treasure is coming out, and then they have the other one that they're building that's going to be in Korea. And so, you know,
maybe they're going to get back to just
here's the deal. You know, I do have a Disney annual pass. However, I said the entertainment that you see on a Disney cruise is pretty much the same type of entertainment that you see at the theme parks.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, and the movies and things like that. And so, you know, I can get Disney Plus for $7.99 a month. I don't need to wait. I don't need to go into a theater on the Disney cruise ship to watch.
Do they have an office for you to hang out there with?
Do you have an office?
Your office?
No, they don't have an office.
They don't have.
They don't have a casino.
They don't have an adult arcade.
They don't have an. The only gambling that is happening on Disney. Let me see if you can figure it out.
I have no idea.
What do you think? What do you think it might be?
Bingo.
Bingo. That's it.
Are you serious?
That's it. That's the only thing.
That must be like a packed house.
Exactly.
Running it 24/7.
Exactly for all the
people who, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do they have a lot of bars on the ship?
You know, they have quite a few, but it's not like Princess where you find a bar every.
They don't have like specialty bars or anything like that? Or it's more a cruise ship, like you just said, is like the amusement park. That's really what it is.
Well, you know, there's
roller coasters.
No, there's no roller coasters. There's theme nights and there's fireworks off the ship, which
is
kind of cool. So there's things like that. They have a really cool water slides and things. And, you know, the pool areas are a little bit smaller than, you know, your average size pools. And I think there's only like two or three pools and they don't have a lot of hot tubs.
But a lot of entertainment, though. A lot of characters
Disney,
walking around.
Yeah, Disney entertainment and things like that. And, you know, for a lot of people, you know, and you have to see it from my perspective. You know, I'm Southern California. I live 35 miles away from Disneyland.
And you just go like for 4 hours, you
know,
and leave.
Yeah, I go. Yeah, I don't go for like 24 hours. You know, I don't go for, you know, at opening to close. No, you know, we show up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Did you go for the candy cane though? I heard about that.
Oh yeah, that's really good. But no,
I heard about.
I've only got the candy cane once. It's
really
it's really good.
Are they about a foot long? I heard
they're
like
big.
Really big.
They're huge, wow. And they're very delicious. They're very delicious. So they make handmade candy canes like about
through the holiday season.
Yeah, through the holidays,
though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's either at they switch from Disneyland to Disney California Adventure, and you know, so it's
they're all handmade.
They're hand, but there's only like you have to get there pretty early to get in line to get your ticket to buy a candy cane. So you know, and I think they only make between 80 and 100 per day.
Wow, that would be
per day. And it's only on like 2 days a week or 3 days a week.
Now, do the cruise ships do things like that though? I mean,
no,
do they, So they don't do, because that would really make it special, worth the cost.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No.
Oh, okay.
So there's just a lot of different.
It's a different experience, but it's the same.
The entertainment is the same.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that you would see in a Disney.
I might have to try it one day.
Yeah. I mean.
On a flash sale.
Yeah. Yeah, flash sale. Good 50%. Luck to find. Yeah.
A flash sale, 50% off. That would be a regular price of a cruise anywhere else.
There's people that, you know, this is what they really enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. But when you're your Disneyland annual pass holder and you've been to theme parks on both coasts and everything like that, and then you get on a Disney cruise ship and people like, the reason why they like it, it's, you know, a lot less people, it's more interactive, you can meet the characters a lot easily, and that's fine. That's if that's what you like and that's what you want to do and you want to, you know, you want to take your kids or your grandkids or great grandkids, and you want to make it kind of like a family time, you want to make some memories like that, you can have a really great time.
So what I'm taking from this, not the interview that we just had, but the interview with Tom right now, because I'm picking his brain, is that you're a big fan of Disney. However, if this was like one of those, let's all sit in a room and tell us what you think of Disneyland versus the cruise ships. Honestly, what I'm taking away from it is that they would get a lot more annual pass holders, people who go all the time, if the Disney experience was slightly different. And if things on a cruise ship were just offered on a cruise ship rather than on land. So then it gives you that experiences of both worlds. So
yeah, they need to make it more specialized. And there's a couple of different things that are specialty, you know, such as their dining restaurant, animator's palette and things like that. But the thing is that here, guys, here's the deal. You know what? You need to go and weigh and take into balance, you know, go watch the videos online. People have done extensive videos about what goes on a Disney cruise ship. And if you're a Disney person that goes to the theme parks a lot, you go and say, is this a value? Is this something that I want to do? Is this because remember, you're going to find similar experiences. Very similar experiences. So you need to say, you know, okay, so I'm going to go do this and I'm going to have fun knowing that these are similar experiences. I'm not going to get something that's unique to, there may be a few things that are unique to Disney Cruise Line, but overall, they're going to be pretty much similar experiences. And so is it a more value for me to go spend money, $185 to go into the theme park for
a similar experience?
For a similar experience to campaign. You know, $10,085 for a cruise with a balcony.
Holy moly. So it's kind of like
7 days.
Holy moly. So it's kind of like Carnival Cruises, not so expensive, but Carnival Cruises has their microbrew on the ships and they just made some deals with like an NFL company or a football team or some sport league where they're going to be selling their microbrews in the stadium. You're not getting the same experience about going to the microbrew at Carnival, but you're getting the beer at the stadium. So what you're kind of like saying is you're getting the Disney here, but you're not getting the full Disney as you would on at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and okay. I'll be cruise comparison. Yeah, and you know, and cruises like I said,
10,000 for a balcony.
Yeah.
Whoa, 10,000. He even have precise.
Listen,
price.
let me
10,085.
Yeah, and if you want to go concierge,
what that's
yeah,
not
you
concierge.
Can just you know you can add you can just double it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Just go look up prices one time.
Do you know how much a Sky Suite at on Princess Cruises with your own your own person on call
butler,
two rooms, huge area. That's cheaper. That's cheaper than that. Wow. I'm just comparing.
Just pricing, but you know, again, you know, you
but
get
you're
the
getting
Disney
the experience.
Yeah, exactly, and things like that. And so you have to value, you know, what is the
You might open your balcony up and see Tinkerbell fly by.
Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, I know. I mean, kind of.
That would be cool. Have like a little string going around.
I think it'd be kind of cool if they start going
Tinkerbell.
Yeah. Well, you know, and
Elsa freezing the water.
Well, anyway, well, we want to, again, thank Cat and Lewis for
coming
on to the show here.
Oh, it was a great interview. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
It was great. Now, and also I learned a lot about Disney cruises from the man himself, Mr. Disney. I'm going to just call him every time.
Disney.
Every time we do a podcast and we're talking about.
And Disney comes Disney up, cruises, you're going to make
him. I'm going to say, no, this isn't Tommy. This is Mr. Disney. Mr. D. Mr. D, can you tell me about Disneyland?
No. Because this is the Cruise Dudes podcast, not
That's
the Cruise
right.
Disney podcast.
One day we will get there with $10,085 in concierge, double that price. One day we will be there.
Maybe I need to go win some money in the casino.
Yes. Well, they don't have it there, so you can't even do that.
I got to go find
a casino. I guess you got to win a lot of bingos to get a free room there.
I got to go. Maybe I have to go to Pechanga.
Pechanga. Get your Disney cruise on.
Get my Disney money.
I'm Scott.
I'm Tommy.
Until next time, everyone.
Keep on cruising.
Have a good one, everyone.